A city's food says a lot about its culture and growth. And for Phoenix New Times food editor Chris Malloy, it's helped him learn about his adopted city. Malloy is from Philadelphia and New York and moved here about a year ago. And since, he's tasted a lot of Phoenix's food. Now he and New Times food critic Patricia Escarcega have put together the latest edition of their series, Essentials, in which they ask the question, what does Phoenix taste like? They've spotlighted 50 essential Phoenix restaurants and dishes that together paint a picture of the city's food scene. Malloy and I met at Pane Bianco, Chef Chris Bianco's bakery and lunch spot, and ordered number 2 on the list.
What is the market sandwich today?
It's a tomato marinated Tuash Ranch roasted chicken with romaine and lemon.
Okay, so we'll do 2 of those, right?
2 of those. And the market sandwich, it sounds like, changes every time.
Yeah, it changes every day. One of my favorites is the tomato market sandwich that has some goat cheese on it and some arugula. It sounds pretty plain, but it has like this great, well thought out architecture. The bread is made right here every day. You know, they're grinding the wheat for the flour and he's sourcing the right produce and it's just all done very well.
Okay, so you're not from here. You said you've been here about a year. You're from New York and Philadelphia. So you come here from these really established food scenes. I don't know what kind of expectations you had of Phoenix's food scene before you came out here, but how has putting this kind of list together and being the food editor here for a year, kind of how have you learned about Phoenix through its food?
I mean, I wasn't coming out here totally blind. I had been out here a lot before. I have been surprised by just the range of what's offered out here. I mean, I thought it was going to be like, you know, all Mexican food, a little bit of maybe Italian food, but you can find a lot of even regional Asian food out here. You can find all kinds of regional Mexican, a bunch of even Oaxacan places. You can find stuff from the Yucatan and down in South Mexico. And I mean, just the general diversity of the scene here has been pretty astonishing.
Looks like our sandwiches are here.
The sandwiches are here. So this one, I actually don't think I've had this one. I don't think I've been in here on a Friday before. That's the best thing about this market sandwich, you know. You can come in on Monday, you could come in on Tuesday, you could come in on Wednesday, Thursday. It's going to be different every time, and it's probably going to be good every time. I mean, we'll see. They're pretty tasty. It's like very rich. So there's this Italian dish called chicken cacciatore, you know, hunter's chicken, something that like Italian-American grandmothers tend to make. I think it's a Southern Italian thing. And this tastes a lot like chicken cacciatore to me, like my grandmother's. Like, I think it's a lot of dark meat chicken in here that's kind of, it tastes like it's braised, like it's been slowly cooked. Almost like a pulled pork kind of texture here. And it just kind of melts apart in your mouth and has this richness to it that I think is probably from tomatoes and see some herbs in there. Yeah, this is just really good. What do you think?
I love it. And the crispy bread, I mean, the bread is the thing here at Pane Bianco, right? But that's really good bread.
Yeah, I mean, you can't have a good sandwich without good bread. And when you're making the bread here every morning from the freshest flour imaginable, and it's all filtered through the brain of a, you know, this kind of bread savant, it's going to be good bread.
So you did half of this list. What are the ones that were like, obviously, this is one that needs to go on this list for you right off the bat?
Well, Rancho Pino was what was our number one, and I think that for me was a really fascinating dining experience, and we had to put that on. Chrissa over there, she's been at it for, I think, like 20 years now, and she's just really puts her own personality on the food she's cooking. It's hard to describe. It's like kind of a mesh of all different kinds of Italian filtered through her Arizonan sensibilities, you know, of course, using all different kinds of local produce and stuff. So you'll see some traditional Italian dishes like deep-fried zucchini blossoms. And often in Italy, they're more lightly fried, but she puts on a heavier fry and she fills them with this house-made ricotta that just oozes out so warmly. And it's typically like a dainty, delicate dish, but she makes it more robust and hearty and kind of comforting. And it goes very well with some of the heartier cuisine she's doing over there, like grilled quail. And in a weird way, it seems to kind of mirror almost the Arizona landscape, like a little harsher, a little heartier than, you know, like the nice sea coasts of Italy.
What else? What are some of the ones that you didn't know about but you tried for this and figured out this needs to be on this list?
Oh, man. I mean, there's so many of them. There's this Cambodian place that I always talk about called, I'm not probably going to butcher the pronunciation, but Rithri Sekong. It's on Indian School, and they just have this sprawling menu. The flavors of Southeast Asia are pretty legendary among people who love to eat, you know, Vietnamese, soups and Thai curries. And I mean, you could just go on and on talking about this stuff. And Cambodia is a country that gets overlooked. And this place is just making some incredible food. And I love the soups over there. They just combine all these different kind of far-flung flavors in ways that are so unexpected and make sense. So you might have like lemongrass and tamarind and fish sauce and jalapenos, and it's all just kind of wild if you're not used to eating that kind of thing, but it just comes together so well.
Which dish from that restaurant made it to the list?
I don't think I actually narrowed it down to a dish. I think I chickened out and just said soups generally.
All right, give me a couple more examples, a couple more highlights from the list that you think we need to make sure people hear about.
So Arizona Wilderness Brewing Company does some fascinating desert-inspired beers. And I'm a real sucker for sour beers. I love the whole broad category, you know, Goza, Lambic, Simple Sours, pretty much anything. And here's another category where I didn't narrow it down to a specific beer. I just said sours from Arizona Wilderness Brewing because they do these simple sours like the grapefruit Goza, which, you know, the flavors aren't super complex, but it's very bright. It has that salt, and it's beautiful for drinking outside in the summer.
What do you think about the food scene? Where do you think we are in terms of maybe comparisons to other places, but also in terms of developing a food scene here in our own right?
It's kind of strange to compare one city's food scene to another. I mean, I think there's things that we do here that we do as well as anybody, like pizza, for example. I think there's a lot of great local farms here and a lot of amazing products available in Arizona. I just wrote about this sake that's being made a few hours north of here that just won an award for best sake in the world produced outside of Japan.
What?
Yeah. This article came out this morning. This stuff's incredible. And the guy makes it out of his garage. And there's a lot of products like that that if you really look, you can find here that I think are as good as anything being offered in other places. But you need to search a little bit for those kind of world-class products. So we do have our gems, we do have our standouts, we do have a wide range of stuff, and I think it's a city where I have a long list of places I still want to eat, and I'm never going to get to the bottom of it. So that's how I feel about the food here, really.
All right. Food editor of the Phoenix New Times, Chris Malloy, thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having me on.